Daniel chapter 2 verses 16 through 45. Daniel very wisely did not rail against the king or the hasty decree of death. Instead, he requested time that he might show the dream and its interpretation to the king. Having been granted a space of time, Daniel knew how to use it. He did not waste it on that which he had been taught in the king's school for wise men. He called his three friends together to pray. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul wrote, "Pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Daniel, too, believed that this is the way for believers to effect and counteract the decisions of government. Notice their petition before the Lord, see Revelation 18, verse 4, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, Daniel 2, verse 18b. God answered their prayer and showed Daniel the secret of Nebuchadnezzar's forgotten dream. Having had Nebuchadnezzar's forgotten dream revealed to him, Daniel did not immediately rush to show his knowledge to the king. Naturally speaking, it was not wise to delay, for the lives of Daniel and his friends were at stake, and they were undoubtedly operating under a time limit. Nevertheless, Daniel took time to give thanks before God. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Daniel began his prayer with specific praise and worship toward the Lord. No prayer should be without this element. In his worship and praise, he expressed much of the spiritual lesson to be learned from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The word blessed, Daniel 2, verses 19 through 20, is translated from a Hebrew word meaning to kneel. Daniel saw this kneeling as a forever and ever activity. Sadly, very few are willing to bless the God of heaven thus, whether the bowing down be of the mind and will, or of the knees. Daniel gave his reason for bowing in submission to God as wisdom and might are his. More simply put, he rules. His wisdom makes the right choices. His might carries them out. None possesses either wisdom or might apart from him, for they are his. Those who do not kneel before him will be both unwise and weak. There followed three items of praise to support Daniel's praise of God's wisdom and might, Daniel 2, verses 21 and 22. First, he changeth the times and the seasons. Later, in Daniel 7:25, we shall see a blasphemous man who will think to change times and laws. The word translated as times in Daniel 7:25 is translated seasons here in Daniel 2:21. That man will fail. The changing of times and seasons is exclusively in God's hands. God will shorten the days appointed to the great tribulation so that saved Israel may continue on the earth, Matthew 24:22. This is in his power. Religious teachers who think to turn our present time back from grace to law become spiritual failures, men of empty clatter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Only God can change the times and seasons. When he has done so, none can change them back. Second, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. When we look at the interpretation of the king's dream, we will see that this removing and setting up of kings is the substance of the events foretold. This, in fact, is the way in which God changes the times and seasons. When this age comes to an end, the new age will be heralded by Christ taking his throne in the heavens, Revelation 4, verse 2. The setting up of the Gentile kings, which we will see in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, portended a great change in the times of Daniel's people. He understood this. The removing of the last of them will announce the restoring of the kingdom to Israel. Third, he revealeth the deep and secret things. This is not a testimony to the overwhelming wisdom and might of rule, which will eventually force every knee to bow. This is a testimony of the graciousness of God's rule, which brings us gladly to our knees. The ruler of all creation chooses to share his private counsels with his servants. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants. Amos 3, verse 7. He can reveal things which are shrouded in darkness to us because the light dwelleth with him. David, considering God's great wisdom, said, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Psalm 139, verse 12. Notice to whom God reveals his secrets. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Daniel was such a man. He knew that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Nebuchadnezzar was troubled to know. He had not made even a beginning. So although God desired to communicate with Nebuchadnezzar, he arranged things so that Daniel would be called in. Daniel had wisdom and understanding. Why Daniel rather than some other Israelite? Daniel gave himself entirely to the knowledge of God. There can be no revealing of the choicest secrets of the Most High to those who are careless, who ignore scriptural truths which are already clear. We must be wise before him. Having rendered to God the praise and worship which was in his heart, Daniel gave a simple, heart-deep prayer of thanksgiving, and then went to tell the king about the secret of his forgotten dream. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." Daniel 2, verses 27 through 30. Daniel began by doing all he could to ensure that God would receive the greatest possible glory in the matter. He reminded the king that none of the wise men, astrologers, magicians, or soothsayers could answer the king when real wisdom was required. Daniel 2, 27. Titles and education do not equate with wisdom. Daniel did not point out this fact from spite or ungraciousness, but for the good of the king. Daniel made it clear that the God of heaven, as opposed to the gods of wood and stone that the king knew, was the revealer of this and all secrets. Daniel 2, 28 and 29. Neither did he risk Nebuchadnezzar's crediting Daniel with special wisdom for recovering and interpreting the dream. He insisted it was not because he knew more than any living. Daniel 2, 30. How few wise men refuse credit for their wisdom. Now the unfolding of the recovered dream and its interpretation. Others have undertaken detailed studies of the fulfillment of this prophecy. We will not attempt to duplicate their efforts here. We will simply state what seems plain when we place history alongside this inspired prophecy. Daniel 2, verses 31 through 35 give a clear, easy-to-understand picture of what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his night vision. The interpretation, Daniel 2, verses 26 through 45, is likewise clear and simple. The image which Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream represented a succession of kings and kingdoms. The head of gold represents Nebuchadnezzar and the empire over which he ruled. The breast and arms of silver depict Cyrus and the Medo-Persian Empire. In the belly and thighs of brass we see Alexander the Great and the empire he gained. The legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay are the Roman Empire. This is an outline of the times of Gentile rule. The period of this church age, as always in Old Testament prophecy, is a hidden valley not revealed here. Two things should be noticed about the image. First, it does not rest on its beginnings, but on its final outcome. Whether it be an age, an empire, a life, or an idea, God has ordained that all things stand or fall on the basis of their end, not on the bright promise and seeming goodness of their beginning. Second, if the path of Gentile rule is shown as going downward from head to foot, it is also shown as going downward in fineness and value before God. Daniel 2, verse 31 speaks of an excellent brightness and a terrible form. Gentile times have always teetered between bright hopefulness and terrible tragedy. This will grow worse, and indeed it is growing worse, at the end of Gentile times. Though the iron rule of the legs is mingled in the feet with the clay of those ruled, there is no break between legs and feet. No overthrow of the Roman system is seen until the very end. Its finish is simultaneous with the end of Gentile times. Since Gentiles are still the world rulers, we must accept that in God's view, the Roman system has never truly been destroyed. This idea may be hard for you to understand, but remember we are called to believe on God's word and not on our own reasonings. The idea that Roman rule is not yet finished seems absurd to the natural mind, but God says that it is so. Perhaps it will help your understanding if you remember that there is still a system in Rome which has worldwide power and influence. That system has always mixed its religion with politics and continues to do so today. It would be wrong to say that that system is all that is pictured here. But it has its part, and we see it providing continuity to Roman power. God will destroy all of the structures of Gentile power. Today's proud civilization and order will become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, Daniel 2:35. No fragment will remain. When the winds of change come sweeping over this earth, there will be no place found for them. They will have no more power to resist than would wind-blown chaff, nor will they have any more value than chaff. The means which God will use to effect the change will be a stone cut without hands, a stone which man will not have shaped in any way. This stone is Jesus Christ. See Matthew 21, verses 42 through 44, Acts 4, verse 11, Romans 9, verse 33, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, Ephesians 2, verse 20, and 1 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. The lesson God rules, wisdom and might are His, He removeth kings and setteth up kings, Daniel 2, verses 20 through 21. Compare Daniel 2, verse 35, and Daniel 2, verses 44 through 45, with Isaiah 2, verses 1 and 2, and Matthew 21, verses 19 through 21. In prophecy, a mountain is often used to picture a kingdom or a nation. Christ Jesus, at the head of those who worship, serve, and obey Him, will become a great mountain or kingdom filling the whole earth. His kingdom shall not be left to other people, Daniel 2:44, for He shall continually be its head. Thank God for the eternal power of His Son. It is said to see so many of God's own dear people giving their efforts to the improvement of the world systems of this age. Daniel finished his interpretation by saying that the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel 2:45. All that now is shall pass away. Christ will utterly destroy it, replacing it with His own rule. Believe it, rejoice in it, and live accordingly.